What's up and good evening, everybody. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. This is Sex and a Struggle. It is Tuesday, the 17th of October. And man, it feels like it's been a while since I was on the Tuesday night thing. We are live here at Sex and a Struggle, sending out invites. If you are able, please tune in. We're going to talk this evening about how your sex life impacts other people. And we're not just talking about the people that you have sex with. We're talking about everybody around you. I expect for my sister Tazima to be joining me soon. Wow, it just feels like it's been a long time since we did Sex in the Struggle on a Tuesday evening. I want to say hey, what's up to my buddy and brother David Freeman, who is out there. Probably will not be joining us tonight, but brother, you are on my mind, and I hope you are doing well. I got some exciting stuff coming up. We have Sex in the Struggle. God is Sex. Coming up soon. Again, that's Sex in the Struggle. God is Sex. That's coming up November the 19th, 2017. Once again, we're doing it at MJ Free Theater. Absolutely outstanding MJ Free Theater in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia, about 15 miles outside of Philadelphia. We did Sex in the Struggle, Let's Get It On, back on September the 16th, 2017. An absolutely outstanding premiere, and it is a sign of some incredible things to come. I want to thank my man and my brother, Devin Starshooters Walls, for helping us pull that thing off. Appreciate everything that you do, my brother. If you should hear this, I want you to know I really appreciate everything you do, everything you've done. It's wonderful to work with you and in that city. I want to thank people like Betsy Crane, Beverly Dale. I want to thank people like my good friend Laura Vegan. I want to thank my daughter Jordan, who happened to show up that night. I want to thank my son Khalil, who put together the Marvin Gaye mix for me. I want to thank my buddy Bill Nix, my man Eric Shamari, brother Shamari Grimes. Lots of people to thank for that tremendous event. And it's the beginning of something. I'm just going to put it that way. It's the beginning of something major, major, major. I feel like I landed on something really good with this vision for Sex in the Struggle. And I hope you'll get a chance to join us. If you didn't join us back on September the 16th, 2017, I hope that you will join us. We got an incredible lineup. We will always have an incredible lineup. Let's see. My sister Tazima Davis will be flying in from the Chicago area to be part of this one. I got my man Tony Rulo, who will be joining us again. Tony was with us for the first one, Sex in the Struggle, Let's Get It On. He'll be joining us again for Sex in the Struggle, God is Sex. Who else I got? I got a poet. We're going to have a lot of entertainment this time around. This is going to be art heavy, but it is not going to lack in the substance whatsoever. From HBO's Real Sex number 26. If you haven't heard of Malik the Freak is a Punani poet, and he is going to be joining us also. I'm going to keep running this back to you throughout this evening's broadcast. I'm going to keep running it back to you because I want you to go to, how do I forget? Sex in the Struggle has a website now, sexinthestruggle.com. Go to sexinthestruggle.com. Get your ticket to Sex in the Struggle at sexinthestruggle.com. We are going to give away so much stuff as you walk through the door that your investment, your $35 investment, is going to be returned to you immediately. This is going to be a quality event. We are going to give away so much, and some people who celebrate the holidays will appreciate this because it is the week before Thanksgiving, and you will certainly appreciate all the things that we are grateful for and all the things that we are giving away. We're giving away books. We're giving away massages. We're probably going to get some fitness coaches to give some things away. We're giving away a lot of stuff for Sex in the Struggle. God is Sex. So mark your calendar. Don't just mark your calendar. Mark your calendar. Go to sexinthestruggle.com, our new website. Get your ticket for Sex and the Struggle. God is Sex, November the 17th, 2017. You got to be there. You want to be there. Trust me, it'll be well worth your time, well worth your $35 investment. You are going to get a major return on your investment should you come out to Sex and the Struggle. God is Sex. All right. So, again, I'm Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and creator of Sex and the Struggle. Been going at this now since, we've been at this for about, we're coming up on like the 10th month of podcasts that we do around Sex and the Struggle, and it's just going to keep growing. And if you want to call in this evening, if you're tuned in and you want to call in this evening, you want to call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185 is the call-in number for Sex in the Struggle. Again, Sister Tazima will probably join me a little later. And before she comes in, I'm gonna run over some things. I want to talk about a few things just to get us ready for tonight's conversation. Because one of the things that I find extremely interesting as it relates to the topic of sex is, you know, people always ask me, why do you talk about that? That's a private matter. If I had hair, I'd be pulling my fucking hair out right now. Every time somebody says to me, that's a private matter, I want to pull my hair out, but I don't have any hair and I have no intentions of growing any. I actually get what people mean when they say it's a private matter. But if you think that your private sex life does not influence the way that you treat people, the way that you engage in your other relationships, you are out of your mind, absolutely out of your mind. If you don't understand the connection between your intimate relationships across the board and how even your intimate relationships impact your professional relationships, it's time for you to do some reading. I'm going to try to be nice in some of this conversation, but some of the stuff you just need to hear for what it is. Your sex life, nobody wants to see. Chances are good, nobody wants to look at what you're doing. You don't have to tell us exactly what you're doing. That's up to you. What I will say is, what you're doing, the energy of what you're doing comes beyond your bedroom, your kitchen, your bathroom, the backseat, wherever you're doing it. It's going to show up in your other relationships. It's really simple. I mean, the way that you show up in romance, in intimacy, in sex, it shows up everywhere in everything you do. So when people say to me, why are you talking about that? It's a private thing. I think I get part of it is that people aren't used to talking about sex. I get that. People are not used to talking about sex. And because people are not used to talking about it, oftentimes they don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to sex, because they're not used to talking about it. Doesn't that make sense? If you're not used to talking about something, you probably don't know what the fuck you're talking about when you open up your mouth to talk about it. It's really quite simple. There's some people who talk about things, and not that just because they talk about them, they know what they're talking about, but there's some people who actually study shit, people who spend time thinking, reading, writing, conversing about these things. And we tend to give them a little more credit because they spend time thinking, talking, writing about these things, that they probably know a little bit more about what they're talking about. When I talk to people like my girl Tazima or my sister Kelly, I'm listening to them and I know that they've actually given this stuff some thought and they've practiced a particular way, they've consulted a particular way. They know what they're talking about more than people who don't talk about these things. So it's important that if you are going to talk about something, that you talk beyond yourself. Because here's the other thing about it. I think people think that just because they've thought about these things, they've thought about these things and what these things mean to them, that that's all that they mean in the universe. Like, you know, I had somebody say to me the other day that, you know, yep, sex is private. For her, sex is private. And that there's some things that should not be discussed. Now, clearly, this person was talking from their particular history. They were talking from their particular circumstance. And it was, it, I could hear the embarrassment, the uncertainty throughout the conversation. I did a lot of listening, bit my tongue a lot, just trying to listen so I could understand what this person was saying. But I just find it very interesting that people think that their perspective about sex and how to and what to talk about, that they think that theirs is the only perspective that matters. It's just, I don't get it. One of the reasons why I created Sex in the Struggle was because sex is part of a struggle. That sex is, as again, my sister Kelly said once during a conversation, sex is in the struggle. Sex is part of the conversation. I'd venture to say it's a huge part of the conversation. So that even coming up with the concept of sex and the struggle, God is sex, man, that shit blows people's minds. They're like, I don't believe that God is sex. Sex isn't God. I'm like, okay, back up. Think about what you're saying. Run the words back. God is sex. Because see, if God isn't sex, then sex is separate from creation. Let me think about this for a minute. If God is not sex, and sex is what brings us into creation, and God is supposed to be about creation, you following me? I know there's some smart people listening, right? I just really think that people don't know what to do with this conversation, but I plan on helping them out. I'm going to help them out to the best of my ability. I'm going to help them out. People ask me sometimes, well, you know, how did you decide on this? Somebody asked me that. How did you decide on this? You know, after all you've done around reconciliation and forgiving, how do you land here? To me, it's not a far leap at all. It is not a far leap at all. I mean, reconciliation, sex, those two things go hand in hand, if you ask me. Reconciliation and sex go hand in hand. Reconciliation is about intimacy. Forgiving is about intimacy. And we could talk theoretical intimacy. That's part of it, right? Emotional intimacy, that's part of it, right? Well, another part of it is physical intimacy. Part of it is like actually touching someone. Part of it is maybe sticking your part into someone else's part, or have, you know, taking someone's part into your part. I'm sorry, I'm being facetious here, but it's all kind of the same thing. There's nothing that we should be afraid of talking about as adults, as grown folks. So again, if you want to give a call, you can. I'm going to be on for about 45 minutes, and I'm going to try to keep this as high as I possibly can, because there's some things that I want to talk about, and you can give me a call if you want to chime in here, 657-383-0185. Before I came on, I was going across the internet where you can find everything, or people think you can find everything. And, you know, I decided I was going to Google to see if I could maybe find some, you know, maybe some knowledge here online about how your sex life impacts others, right? And so this, to me, says a lot about where we are collectively across the board when it comes to asking this question. So again, I just kind of type in how your sex life affects others. I'm going to try some of this. I'm going to try how my sex life affects others. Okay, so I'm typing that in now, and this is what comes up. It says something about, get this. Now, you know what I just typed, right? How my sex life affects others. This is what comes up when I type that in. Top one in a Yahoo search says, first thing, tips to improve your sex life. How to enjoy more fulfilling sex. Well, that's not what I asked for. I didn't ask for that. I asked how my sex life affects others. All right. Then the next thing is, go figure this one. Number two, how does watching porn really impact your sex life? That's not what the fuck I asked. I asked how my sex life affects others. All right. Now, if you have any ideas, if you're listening out there and you have some ideas as to a better search terms that I can put in here, I'd appreciate your help. But this is what I put in here. How my sex life affects others. So the first one is tips to improve your sex life. That's not what I asked for. The second one is, how does watching porn really impact your sex life? How the fuck do you go from my question to this thing right here? Okay, so the third one, how porn hurts men in sex life. What the fuck is up with the porn thing? All right, so I'm going to go down a little bit further. The next three. Okay, so I type in how my sex life affects others, and the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, five out of the first six responses has something to do with fucking porn. It's not what I asked for. I wanted to know how my sex life affects others, right? Okay, so it looks like maybe I'm not going to get what I'm asking for. But here's one, improve your sex life at womensday.com. That's not what I asked for either. I don't know if I'm going to get it here at this search engine, so I'm going to try another search engine. Let me ask you, if you're out there listening, let me ask you this. What is the difference for you when you are having good sex on a regular basis? How do you feel? Now, we could get into, I'm sure there are a lot of people that could talk about things like dopamine and all the other chemicals, all the, you know, the feel-good stuff that comes through the body, you know, all that shit. Yeah, we could talk about that. And I'm not dismissing it because it's important. But what I am saying is that for whatever it is that is flowing through you, whatever the chemicals are that are flowing through you as a result of having had sex, do you find that you're like nicer to people for the most part for a while? Do you think that, you know, let's say maybe a half an hour afterward, let's say you got children, right? And you're having sex and you're done and you get up and you walk out of the room and you're walking around now around your children. Are you lighter? Are you smiling? You know, doesn't that have an effect on them? Doesn't what you just did, if you got a really good one off, doesn't that impact the way you're talking to people outside the bedroom? I mean, that's just right there in your house if you've got children. All right, so let's say you get in the car because you're hungry now. You just had sex and you're going to get in the car and you're going to get something to eat. You're in the market. You're driving. You turn on the radio in the car. Chances are good if you got a really good one off. You know, you got a really, oh God, that shit was good. If you had one of those, chances are good you've turned on the radio, you turned on CD, satellite radios, and you fucking singing, right? You smiling, you know, and you don't think that the people in other cars see you smiling? You don't think that that has an impact on them? Yeah, it does. It does. You get to the grocery store, you're walking up and down the aisles, you're smiling, you're feeling good. There's all this juicy orgasm running through your system. You don't think that people feel that? Hey, come on. People feel that. People feel it. Okay, so you get some before you go to work. How does that impact you when you go to work? Yeah, I know there could be that asshole at work that just kind of fucks up everything, but let's, before you meet that asshole, when you get to work, aren't you feeling pretty good? All right, so I'm going to try another thing here. How about this? Morning sex affects work place. Let's try that one. I'm going to type that in and see what comes up. This, look at fucking this. Okay. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. I actually typed in morning sex affects workplace. And this is what I got back. I like this. Number one, how morning sex can improve your health and mood. How about that? How a spot of morning passion can make you glow all day long. Now, if you're glowing all day long, don't you think that that's going to have an impact on the way you're treating people? Of course it is. Of course it is. So, okay, so says here that stuff, right? Let's look up another thing here. By the way, if you want to join me as I go through this thing, I'm talking about how sex, your sex life impacts others. You can call me at 657-383-0185. You can do that up until about, I'll be on until about 10. I expect it to zoom up. And I think just as I was saying her name, she pops up. I'm going to bring her right in so she can help me out here. What's up, Tazima?
Good evening. Hello.
What's happening, sis? I'm
I'm here.
Good. Because I'm like I feel like a fucking mad scientist before you hopped on the phone. So, you know, this show is about how your sex life impacts others. Kazima, I've been struggling with this thing lately, sis.
Yeah.
When I talk with people about sex and the struggle, and people say, you know, why do you talk about that? Yeah, I think sex is private. You know, sex is something that's private. I'm like, yeah, I get that, but I'm not asking to watch you do anything. I'm not interested in, you know, watching you do anything. Number two, I'm not interested in you telling me how you do it. Sex and the struggle is a place, it's like a classroom. People can come learn about themselves, other people, other possibilities, right? I'm not asking anybody to come in and undress. I'm not asking anybody for anything. And the other thing is, I know that private sex, just like other private acts, impact the world around us. So how people don't get that their sex life impacts their other relationships is fucking beyond me, other than the fact that maybe they're just that scared to talk about that reality. You ever get that thing of people talking about sex and, you know, it's a private conversation? You ever hear that one?
I do often. And what I hear more than it's private is the other end of that, which is you are the only one that I can talk to about this thing. I can't talk with anyone else. No one else will understand. And I also did an inventory of like the things that people think are disgusting that are, you know, don't share that. No, seriously. Check out.
Did you say inventory?
Yes. An inventory.
You must be funny.
I'm a scientist. You know it's going to be an inventory.
So you and your data and your numbers and your facts, please. I'm holding my breath.
So I do this inventory. I'm like, oh, let's check it out. of the things that people think are disgusting, okay, and should be kept in private.
Right.
Definitely sex, given. That's what we're talking about today.
Right.
Any bodily function,
farting,
pissing, pooping, burping, mucus of any sort coming out of any orifice is gross. So anything that's natural for your body to do is pretty much gross, except eat, but not too much. Don't be a glutton. Okay? So basic functions are disgusting. Do it in private. Also, don't chew with your mouth open. So, like, just a regular-ass human being. Thing for most people. Private. So this is huge. So you have a society of secrecy around everything that happens in your body. Come on, man. I just had a coaching session that where I was being coached. If your
right.
coach doesn't have a coach, be concerned about that, by the way. So
yeah.
I'm in a coaching session, and my coach was trying to throw out things that might be disgusting. She's like, why don't you fart out loud? And I was like, no, that's not a problem, see? Like, I'm good. I may not do it, like, with people I don't know, but, like, you know, farting is normal in my house. Like, it's just the way that it is. And we make a little joke about it. And
right.
I'm sorry if your household thinks it's disgusting. Guess what? It's a bodily function.
Right.
You got to go to another room to blow your nose. So let's talk about what you were sharing, though, first. Is this, how does your sexuality affect other people? Well, number one is as much as the degree to which you are keeping secrets about any part of your life, but sexuality in particular, the more underground your sexuality goes, the more risky your sex becomes. Okay? So if you think about, like, young people, for example, young people are the scapegoats of all sexuality. They do everything wrong. I'm so sorry, young people. By the way, because it's a fucking secret and no one told you. All
right,
right. So you got a self-perpetuating situation where it's already secret. And then because it's secret, they do riskier behaviors because, hey, you know, don't talk about it. So then who do you talk about it with? All the people who are not supposed to be talking about it and who are not supposed to be doing it. And where are they getting their information from? The internet. Okay?
That's right.
Internet has everything on it. And the shit is free. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Card. All it has is the year and they're in. Okay? So you can get past all the walls and, you know, I have a friend whose daughter actually was regularly watching porn. It was a tough situation. She was single digits, not even 10. And
wow.
She had gotten into it on, like, that's how easy it is. You get a single-digit child exposing themselves to, you know, hardcore sexuality, sex activity. And so, and this is with you, Ulysses, on different occasions, but when you're in single-digit ages, stuff is coming in without a filter. So there's no discretion. There's not even disgust. There's not even, like, this is wrong, other than, you know, it might flip out. But to them, it's not wrong. It's just something they're doing. So absolutely secrecy around sex affects children, it affects your partner, it affects anyone that you're dealing with on a, like, regular basis, anybody in your work environment, because, by the way, your however you feel in your sexuality affects how you roll, basically, in the world. I'm going to ask you to jump back in.
Well, you know, one of the things that you just got through saying about it affects everybody, you know, in your world. Before you came on, I was probably being something of a jerk all by myself. I'm glad you came on to kind of settle me down. But I was, you know, I was looking up a question. I wanted a question. And my question was how my sex life, this is me doing an internet search. I wanted to know, and I put it in the little bar up here, how my sex life affects others. Okay, so I type that in. I hit the little, you know, microscope thing. And the first thing that comes up is this. The answer, tips to improve your sex life, how to enjoy more fulfilling sex. Well, that's not what the fuck I asked for, Tazima. I wanted to know how my sex affects others, right? And I got that. And then the next five responses has something to do with porn. I didn't ask for porn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I just wanted to know how my sex life affects others.
It's not a conversation people are having.
No. No, it's not. It's not.
It's a fucking secret.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I was saying was, you know, let me back up one more time. So someone was saying to me, asking me about this whole private thing. They were like, why are you talking about that? What's with this sex and a struggle thing? Why, you know, what's that trip for you? What does that have to do with forgiving and reconciliation? And I talked a little bit about it, but the point I was trying to make was I talk to people like you, like Kelly, like others. I talk with you all about sex all the time. And one of the reasons why I listen to you and Kelly and others is because you study this stuff. You talk about this stuff. You write about this stuff. You think about this stuff. So I talk to you. Tell me why I would talk to someone about sex who never thinks about it, who never talks about it, who never writes about it, who never studies. Why? I mean, if I want to know, why am I going to talk to somebody who never talks about it? Furthermore, why would I even listen to somebody's advice if they don't pay this stuff any attention?
Yeah. One of my, when I go to a networking meeting, at least I'm almost up to once a week, but definitely twice a month, certainly, most often three times a month. But I talk about who my power partners are. Power partners at a networking thing means people who we would share the same clientele. And one of the sets of people that I say for my power partners are prude therapists. So
prude
therapists. Prude therapists. So if your therapist is not a specialist on sex, which, by the way, they should be, because half of your problems, if not 90% of your problems, are sexually related, you can bring me in as a sexpert. Okay. So I say that to say that not even other professionals are necessarily talking about it. And it's actually to a very significant challenge in our society. This is actually a huge problem. Here's the thing. People know you have sex because you have kids. People know you have sex because you got pregnant and had an abortion. You know, like, if you have kids, people know you had sex. Somebody had sex. Your mama had sex. Okay? She might be the rudest one out. Get this. Your mom had sex with your dad. Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Yes.
No.
And they might even still be having sex. You know, that's the one thing that pisses me off is people who get upset about their parents having sex. I was like, when you read them, if they can get it on at 70, let them go. Get it. Let them get it. Celebrate that shit. Because you're going to be 70, hopefully, as well, and I hope you're frisky, too. Stop it. Old people need to have sex. All elderly people over 65, retired people need to be having sex. Anyway, let me get back to our thing. Your sex life, the reason to be talking about sex, number one, is that we talk about basically everything else in our lives ad nauseum.
That's right.
Things that are much less pleasurable, things that actually don't bring us much satisfaction at all. We'll talk about that shit all day.
That's right.
We'll talk about who murdered who. We'll talk about the injustice in the world, these depressing-ass situations, political situations, both here and abroad. We'll talk about natural disasters. And yes, that shit needs to be handled, but guess what else needs to be handled? People's own personal satisfaction. Because you dissatisfied motherfuckers walking around complaining about every fucking thing need to go home and get some loving. Okay? Some of y'all have people with whom you can cuddle or have a cry with. Get some connection, affection. Talk about when was the last time you got some nourishing touch. How about that? Let's talk about that. Let's not even talk about sex. Let's talk about nourishing touch and hugs and love. Okay?
That's right.
Let's start there.
Yep.
The brain and wheels, okay? About intimacy and connection and love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? See, I'm hearing all the complaining about everything. Like, let's stop talking about how bad it is. Let's talk about how some good loving can happen. How about that? That'll change your life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't change actively.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really at, you know, number 45, and you can't really get at the people who are dismantling Obamacare. You can't really get at them right now. But what you can get at is your own life. This is actually about so much just sex. It's actually about your personal satisfaction. If we had more satisfied people out in this world, moving around the world, doing stuff, more satisfaction, we would have a different kind of society right now. So it's about way more than just of like whether you're talking about that or not. It's about you actually going out and getting satisfaction. Where's your attention? Where's your attention? So it's even more political than you know, just, ooh, that's a taboo topic. No, it's a where's your attention? What are you creating in the world?
And I always say that intimacy, the personal policies of pleasure, intimacy, and sex are always at our control. You can make you can have a personal policy, a persistent personal policy related to those three things. That's just what you stand for, you know, and you don't have to wait 4 years to change that shit. You don't have to wait 2 years to change that shit. Maybe you got to wait till you come home later. Maybe you can even go internally for a while until you come home later. I don't even want to get into that, the masturbation piece, because, you know, that's a part of it too. But, I mean, there's a way that we need to be thinking about, as you said, satisfaction, and I'm going to add pleasure to that. There's a way that we talk about pleasure as if it's evil, as if pleasure, it's like, you know, there's pleasure just gets kicked to the fucking curb. You bring pleasure into many conversations. People talk about it as if it is indulgence. I'm like, that ain't fucking indulgence. That's medicine.
Yeah, and I'll take it even a step further to say that this sexual energy is the most powerful substance on the planet, period. What's the count now? Probably 7.5 billion people.
That's
it's
right.
It's powerful stuff. They got to create legislation about what you can and can't do about it. Okay, things that don't need legislating, blowing your nose. all the other bodily functions, like, except defecating in public. But, like, pretty much you could do every other bodily function in public. You might get ostracized, but, like, you're not going to get in trouble.
Right.
You cry in public, you're going to be fine, okay? They got legislation about with whom you can have sex, how old the person is, whether you have sex with multiple people, you can only marry one person at a time, all this stuff. They got all this stuff about sex. Sex is the most regulated bodily function, okay? If you do it too much, you got a problem. You do it too little, you got a problem. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody's talking about it. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So the energetics of the sex force, think about this, and I'm not going to get into all the metaphysicalness of it at all. but know that there's even more than what I'm saying. But we have the power to create life. We come together, two people come together, maybe some medical science at this point with some folks, but still, two people, just in general, come together, you make a new life. If you're not using the sex force to create a new person, you can create new life through a business. You can create new life through art. You can create new life through all manner of creative projects. It is the center of your creativity. Have you ever noticed how very accomplished artists are extremely sexy?
Yep.
Why?
Yep.
Today you can't see me, but I'm wearing my Prince outfit. I got so many compliments on it. I mean, it's not I'm not in full, like, chaps or anything with my ass out, but I do have high-waisted pants on and a ruffly shirt. And everybody was like, oh, you look so nice today. Is there a special occasion? La, la, la. You know, I was like, no, I'm just channeling Prince today.
Like, that's right.
I'm dressing up, channeling Prince, getting my sexy on. Okay?
Yeah.
So the point of that is, like, this sex force is so creative. There's so much that can be done with it that it's a shame that we leave it on the table unused. If you were to integrate your sexual energy into your work, I'm not saying fuck you, somebody on your desk at work. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But if you, instead of suppressing your sexual life force, and like I said, this is not about flirting with more people. It's not about, like, gyrating in your office. It's about allowing the energy and enthusiasm and life-giving force to permeate activities. It's called aliveness. It's called playfulness. It's called, like, enthusiasm. People are so, like, into this, like, shit about being, like, meh about stuff. Like, I'm not really into all that. No, fucking get enthusiastic. That's sex force. That's life force. Celebrate that. And that's how you can actually affect people without having sex directly with them. You can influence people much more potently if you have all of that on board.
So interesting that you would bring up Prince. I was in the gym first thing this morning, and first thing I threw on was, I mean, it ain't, I guess most people wouldn't see this shit as a workout song, but I love me some fucking Erotic City. I will do Erotic City, and then I went from Erotic City to the Beautiful Ones. And there's something so juicy about the way I feel when I'm listening to Prince music. I just absolutely love fucking Prince music. And I wasn't always I wasn't a Prince fan like some people are. There. I got my favorite Prince shit, and so the feeling, that, you know, the way that I tease myself to Zima when I am in public, people probably would never guess what I'm doing to myself to make me connect more with them. You know, the way that I'm, like, manipulating myself, playing with myself internally, makes me such a much more connectable guy. You know, when I'm flat, when I'm not having any fun on the inside, I ain't gonna be having no fun on the outside, but I have so much fucking sexy fun on the outside when I'm playing on the inside. Oh my God, it's incredible. So I know that my sexual energy, and this is, I think, where people get fucked up sometimes too, because they don't, I'm glad you made the distinction between sexual energy and sex. It's not just about an act.
Right.
It's about a feeling. And where the act comes into play, it's a way of increasing that feeling, of sharing that feeling. And that feeling can be shared in glances. It can be shared in laughter. It can be shared in so many ways that I just think that people have dismissed it so much that they've confined it to the act, and that's where they struggle.
Right. Yeah, and I want to offer something that is like an intermediate, because some people will be listening and they'll be like, I don't know about bringing this sexual energy everywhere. Like, that's just too much. So I want to give people an intermediate step to accessing this. The first place that you can go is actually accessing your own emotions. So what's really cool, and I taught this to some clients of mine, they came in for an in-person session. I don't always work with people in person, but this was necessary because I wanted them to have an experience, a visceral experience of being together in full out emotion. So your emotions are extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And that's the other thing that's not allowed in public is you know, don't let them see you sweat. Don't get emotional. Hold it together. Don't lose it. All of these things, these are natural human emotions. And when we don't have access to them, we're fucked up. So one level is to be able to attune to yourself, and then you will actually more accurately attune to others. If you know what you're feeling, you can pretty much typically tune in and know what other people are feeling. Because we're pack animals. I don't care how intelligent any one of us can become or what an idiot box any one of us could become, whatever, or we are, whatever. The point being is that we can feel each other. Even unskilled people, if you slow down, you don't need, like, you know, a degree for this. This is something, an inborn gift that we all have. You can feel people. You can, if you slow down and check in, what am I feeling? Huh, they might be feeling this. 98% of the time, you're right. You may not know the specifics, but you can pretty much tell what's going on for people. So that's the basic level. I would recommend that to every person. You will be blown away about what you know about folks. And then you just ask them, you check it in. What are you feeling right now? You know, I feel pretty angry right now. Are you upset about something? Check it in. They might be in denial because, again, people deny their emotions, but they might come around and share with you, yeah, actually, you know, I got something going on and, you know, I'm a little distracted from the work that we're supposed to be doing together, but, you know, working on it. So that's one way that you can connect. Now, taking it up a notch to sexual energy. So first you have just a straight emotion energy, and then you have sexual energy, which is, you know, it's less like I am thinking about having sex. It's less that, but more like your internal circuitry of your sexuality, like how your genitals show up in your body. Like, first of all, acknowledging you have genitals, because a lot of people just forget.
Yep.
Honoring that this is the most creative, powerful force on the planet, okay? You can bring the world because of what's in your underwear, okay, and inside your pelvis. So just realizing the awesomeness of that would be pretty cool to think about. And, like, if I can create life, then I can definitely get these 10 emails out. If I can create life, I can definitely rock this talk that I have, this sales call or whatever it is. I can definitely do this interview. I can definitely, so I have the power to create life. That's, by the way, that's your sexual energy.
Right.
And that's where you can roll with it. Start with the emotions first. But next level is, I can create life. This is pretty cool. And I don't care what the state of your genitals is, by the way. Like, you might be, you know, impotent for whatever reason, or you might be postmenopausal or whatever. It just matter. The potency and the power is still there.
Right. Right. Yeah. for those of you that may have been listening and have no idea who you're listening to, first of all, I want to say that was my sister, Justine Davis. And my name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. This is Sex and the Struggle. We do this every Tuesday evening. We had gone maybe two Tuesdays without it, but ain't going to be too many Tuesdays in the future where you don't catch us here at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time doing Sex and the Struggle. We are getting ready. Tazim and I are getting ready for Sex and the Struggle. God is Sex. That is a live event that is taking place in Chester City, which is about 15 miles outside of Philadelphia. We're doing that November the 19th, 2017 at MJ Free Theater. We did Sex in the Struggle, our premiere, Let's Get It On, back September the 16th. Just an absolutely amazing, engaging evening of some brilliant, educated, entertaining folks talking about all things sex. And I guarantee that this upcoming one is going to be an upgrade. Anybody who was at the first one, if you come to the second one, you will see something tremendous in terms of the upgrade. So, and Tazima will be there. And if you like her on the podcast, you're going to love her on the stage. So go to sexandthestruggle.com. We actually have a freaking website, Tazima. It's called sexandthestruggle.com.
All right.
You go to sexandthestruggle.com. Still working on it, but you will be able to get your tickets and find out some stuff about the people who will be on the stage with Tazima. Alicia Gonzalez will be there. Tony Rulo will be there. I'll be there. We've got poets, singers. It's just going to be an incredible, incredible event. We've been talking this evening about how your sex life impacts others. And, you know, the thing that I like that you're saying right now, Tazima, is that, yes, your sex life impacts others. And it is so important to acknowledge that you have a sex life, that you are a sexual being. You say it really clean and quick, and that is, we create life. Our bodies are capable of creating life. This is the other thing. When we talk about our sex life impacting others, yeah, we make children. We were made as children through other people. There is a way that I think sometimes we are so dismissive of the power of who we are that it is in that initial dismissal of our power that all other dismissal comes about. We got to be fucking fired up about the fact that we have been created and we can create, and that all of this creation, all this, I throw up quotes, God creation, is sexual power. It's fucking cosmic, universal power of creation. We got to get fired. When you get fired up about that, you were talking about enthusiasm a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to speak directly to, you know, those who are getting offended by even this conversation about God is sex. And, like, you know, there might be someone listening who's like, well, no, we don't create life. God creates life. Well, yes and. So here's where I'm going to be really bold and say yes and. So, yes, God does create life. And I will refer to the Bible verse, which somebody's going to have to bring this in for me because I haven't memorized the Bible. It's not my thing to memorize text in that way. But I do know that there's a phrase in there that says, there are no blessings without works. So you can't just sit around and wait for blessings. You actually got to do some work. And by the way, the work to create the new babies is the sex. And by the way, God invented sex. So it wasn't, you know, this, you know, And I happen to be a divine design person. I love God, and I also love the universe, and I also love the fact that different stuff happened in different places because evolution, fight me on it. I don't care. My point is God is awesome, and so is the universe. So we agree. But the main point here, though, is that we are working in concert with divine creation. Spirit moves us to do certain things. We're inspired to connect with certain people. We get a little intuitive hit. Go over here. Go over there. Yeah, attend that event with a friend and meet this person who happens to be so fabulous and you never, you know, yeah, you chose the dress that set off your eyes. Yeah, you decided to take the risk to talk to the particular person who you thought was attractive across the room. All of those things are the little divine touches and inspirations and creations that take us to the place where we then have sex with the person and we make a new baby. Okay? All that is all divine. I believe in it. It's awesome. So it's not just, you know, biology. There's something amazing about it. By the way, I found out several months ago, maybe up to a year ago, that do you know that at the point of conception where the sperm is penetrating the egg, that there is a spark of light? They've measured it. It's amazing. It's revolutionized in vitro fertilization because they can actually, if they film the little thing, they can see which potential zygotes have now actually been fertilized because they can see it now.
Mm.
How fresh is that? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It warms my heart just to think about that. A spark of light, really? I was a little tiny explosion at some point. This is great.
Yeah.
Some fun right at the point of conception. It's awesome. Who could make that up but God? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. So, like, and there was, like, there were two cells, and then there became one. And in some cases, you know, it's two of them that became out of the one. You got twins, you got triplets. That shit is amazing.
It is.
Like.
It is.
You know, so, but this is the power that we hold in our bodies, and it's up to us to activate that energy. It's up to us to pour ourselves into our work, to pour ourselves into these discussions where we're pushing the envelope about what we. So, yes, should we talk about sex with people? Yes, hell yes, because this shit is amazing. It's amazing. More people should be talking about it. I want sex to be a conversation that is talked about in the same way that we talk about our new favorite shampoo or a place where we found these shoes. That's how I want it to be. That's my vision.
Yeah.
Me
too, sister. And, you know, because when I watch every now and then I'm vegging and I'll be flipping through channels and I watch all the shit people talk about, particularly when I watch men get so amped about fucking sports. I'm like, And you can't be this excited about sex? And I don't mean, you know, sex from a, you know, the so-called, you know, the stereotypic man standpoint. But I'm talking about creation sex. I'm talking about generative sex. You can't be as amped to talk about this.
Right.
I've been looking a lot lately at the conversations and articles around the God particle when you were talking about that spark of the sperm and the egg, that light. This people are constantly trying to find the God particle, that thing, that elusive thing that is underneath every fucking thing. And I love it. It's like we keep looking for something that is always with us. It's almost funny to think that we're looking for this. We're looking for God, and it's everywhere. It's like what the fuck? What do you mean? You're looking for the particle?
Right,
it's big fucking things walking around.
Not a motherfucking particle. That's the problem. Stop looking. It's a force.
What a dumbass exercise.
It's a.
You know, a fucking elephant is the God particle.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
But that's right. Okay. No. All right. Yeah. Because this will be found by somebody that expects more out of you, right? They'll say, Chizima, what were you saying, girl? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my mom's on Facebook, but my mom is actually a fan of my work. She actually, I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach. There's some technical distinctions, but my mother loves saying, my daughter's a sex therapist. Like because it increases her, you know, badassery. So, like, she just rolls with it. So my dad just got on Facebook. He's not such a fan. So I'm kind of nervous. We haven't friended up yet, but we'll see. Because I actually, you know, I talk about what I do on my Facebook page. So we'll see. This is my growth edge, people.
You better friend your dad.
I know.
Be friends with your dad. That's right. All right, folks. We got it. We signing out. We running out of time here. Tazima, how do they find you, sister?
Yeah. InfiniteRelating.com, and I have a super secret website that's going to be coming out soon. But so stay tuned. But you can always find me on Facebook/Tazima, TAZIMA.
And you will be able to find her in Chester City in about a month,
absolutely,
a little less than a month. She's going to be sitting on stage next to me in Chester City. We're going to get her on a plane, and she's going to be jetting this way. And you need to be there. So go to sexinthestruggle.com. I'm going to actually do a link from sexinthestruggle.com to your website. Will you tell me what you want me to do this so people can get directly to you?
Sure.
But you want to see this woman face-to-face. That's what you want to do. So be there November the 19th for Sex and the Struggle. God is sex. Stop looking for the God particle, because it will be with us. If you want to find the God particle,
that's right,
come to Sex. We have it. We discovered it.
it'll be on stage. It'll be in your presence. You'll have to come experience. Very
hey, you know what? I'm going to put that in our marketing. We have the God particle.
We found the God particle. Got it.
If you've been looking for it, that's right. Come to Chester, and we will show you the God particle.
Do it. I'm into it. I'm way into it, dude.
Right on. All right, sister. As always, it's a pleasure, and I will talk with you soon. Thank you. Have a good evening. Good night,
everyone.
All
right. Take care. Thank you.